Blog Talk Radio.
Shutdown, which the president was misleading in the context of a campaign and government. But other aspects of the law is to come. And I would hope that it, as we chronicle what's going on now with the political controversy over the law and scrutiny of the president's past statements on some issues, that we all learn the lesson from that and recognize any government program, but certainly one of this size and this grandeur, is incumbent upon the press to do a lot of scrutiny so the public can make an informed decision. I've said this elsewhere and received some criticism about it. Part of the issue was Governor Romney didn't make health care a big issue in the campaign because he had his own political problems. And so often in the context of a campaign, what gets scrutinized is what one side or the other puts forward. But there's no doubt that even without Governor Romney putting health care front and center, the press should have done a much better job, and that would have been in the president's interest, really, and in liberals' interest, because a law that has no scrutiny in real time is not going to get corrected, and now they're dealing with the scrutiny that's coming belatedly, and it's really setting back their attempts to make the law a practical reality.
But I don't get it, because, I mean, you know, with all due respect to you and the rest of the press, and I admire you for putting yourself in that mix. You know, I think the last question I asked you in the last interview had to do with Obama's admitted drug use, and you said something to the effect if McCain had made an issue of it, the press would have gone along. I mean, you can't convince me that he did drugs when he was in the reserve, and he was AWOL. I mean, all these things that they dig, and here you had a law that not one Republican voted for, and the media didn't think it necessary to find out what the heck was in it, and I just don't get that. If you can't tell me it's not because Obama was a Democrat and possibly on top of it an African American Democrat. Did that play a role?
Well, I've been outspoken for my career in saying that there's liberal bias in the media, and it's a big problem, and it remains a big problem. So I certainly think that played a role in some of the things you're talking about. I thought the coverage the president got in 2008 was the most favorable coverage of any presidential candidate I've ever covered, and I think his party played a role in that, as well as the historical nature of his election. I will say, though, Steve, that I did not see, nor do I recall, massive amounts of investigative reporting by conservative news organizations about the provisions in the law that are now controversial. There was rhetorical questioning of of some of the provisions, including the ones that have become controversial, but they were mostly cast as bad policy and some skepticism that they would work well. But I think there's enough conservative news outlets now that I think it is not right to exempt conservative news organizations or news organizations that are perceived to be conservative or as watchdogs of the Democratic administration. I didn't see a lot of work by those groups in addition for many of the same reasons, not about bias, but simply about resources and judgment about what was important.
All right, well, I mean, I think a lot of people said that, you know, you weren't going to be able to keep your health care, but also, you know, I think they focused on the death panels, which will be coming, call them what you will, rationing
is part of it. I agree. It's going to be a huge issue, and that's something else about which the president was not fully forthcoming and straightforward.
Right, so you believe that there will be rationing, a.k.a. death panels?
It's built into the plan. It's not like a guess or like a judgment. That's going to be part of how costs are controlled.
Yeah, okay, well,
but I'll say something else about that issue, which is we do need to do some of that in this country because we can't afford to spend so much on end-of-life care. A very high percentage of our health care spending is for a very small number of people at the last stages of their life. I'm not saying the system shouldn't allow that, but there's too much cost there. Judgments have to be made. We have to decide.
Made by who, Mark? Mark, made by who? The government?
By individuals.
But it's not going to be made by individuals. If you say it's included in the health care...
It's not now. For many people who have insurance, their insurance companies make those decisions.
But it's very rare that they, in other words, if someone needs a bypass, the insurance company doesn't say put him in a hospice or give him a pill like Tom Daschle told me that he would do.
Sometimes people run up against the caps and costs with their insurance that make it impractical to get certain kind of coverage. But don't draw me into a false argument here about what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, as a society, we need to have this discussion in an honest and straightforward way because we can't afford everything, every instance that people would like to have.
And has has the president been forthcoming that we need to have that argument?
He was not, and Democrats were not when the law passed. But I'll say again, there should have been more scrutiny by all the press, including the conservative press, of the specifics. I'm not saying there was none, but there's going to be a lot of journalism done across the board on this issue coming up, just as there has been now on the issue of whether people with individual plans could keep them. There's going to be a lot of scrutiny. It should start now. It should have started a while ago, but it needs to start now in a serious and substantive way with investigative reporting and explanatory journalism rather than waiting until the crisis is upon us, because the law is the law, and we're going to have a discussion as a country about what kind of health care we can afford, particularly at the end of life, when a lot of expensive medicine is often
unless, of course, you're really rich, and then you can afford all kinds of nice stuff.
Decide, do we really want to spend that money?
All right, I got you. Let's move on to the nuclear option. Nothing to do with Iran, but we're talking about the Senate. You know, I mean, I sat here Friday, and I played Barack Obama, Harry Reid, Joe Biden.
All right. So basically, that's the essence of that. You know,
the essence is there's going to be plenty of health care available if you're rich, and if you're not rich, there ain't going to be so much.
There ain't going to be so much, and you're going to be,
ushered out quickly.
Dead by 65, so you don't collect Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they get all figured out. On Obamacare. Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, I never liked Oprah. I don't know, maybe I'm one of the few in the world, but I never did. And not because she's black, but because I always thought she was a racist. And now she's proving it. Oprah saying, if you don't like Obamacare, it's because you are a racist. All right? Well, Dr. Carson, who happens to be black, actually says, it's because I'm the world's top neurosurgeon is why he doesn't like Obamacare. Okay? And because Obamacare stinks, okay, in so many ways. And you got Oprah running around with her billions. This is the last days of Oprah. She's lost everything. I predict that she will be in the bankruptcy court within a couple of years. All right.
I don't think she's going to be any.
Nobody will ever want to talk to her, see her, or know her.
But she's going to disappear.
She'll disappear. Oh, this is interesting. California city enacts outrageous smoking ban. People can't smoke in their houses anymore. Imagine that, in California.
Why is that?
San Diego. I was supposed to be banning people from smoking in their home.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what they think they can do. Personal liberty has taken quite a beating in recent years as leftist politicians seek to ban any politically incorrect behavior, ostensibly for our own good. While New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has been the poster boy for government intervention, the West Coast has long been riddled with such intrusive ideology. Want to read some of that?
For generations, cigarette smokers have increasingly fallen out of favor among leftists. Increasingly draconian restrictions mean these citizens are often regulated to their homes or herded into some inconvenient holding pen when they feel the need to light up. Legislators in San Rafael, California, however, have taken the idiocy to stunning new heights by implementing what is arguably the strictest smoking ban in the U.S. I'm not aware of any ordinance that's stronger, gloated one of the law's authors, Rebecca Woodbury. Already more than a week old, the ordinance dictates no one may smoke in any multifamily residence with shared walls. The law applies to any apartment complex, condominium, or other structure with three or more units. Renters and homeowners alike are subject to the new mandate. While proponents argue smoke can cause health problems even through walls, one smoker's rights advocate said proof of the assertion is spurious at best. In reality, many leftists would support any legislation that gave them power to tell others what they may or may not do. Ironically, these are often the very same public figures who find themselves the subject of scandals based on their own outlandish behavior. Fortunately, many citizens are acutely aware of the government's increasingly intrusive role in the lives of Americans. A growing number of people, including many non-smokers, are joining in the opposition of this overzealous ordinance. Heartland Institute Research Fellow Stephen Stanek said he sympathizes with smokers and others who have had their liberties curtailed by the huge growth in laws and punishment and government restricting people more and more. Though Americans still celebrate the nation's identity as the land of the free, we are growing demonstrably less sovereign as time progresses. When citizens are prohibited from using legal product, even within the confines of their own home, one must recognize that this is not the same country our founders envisioned. Oh, that's true.
It's kind of sick, I'm telling you. I don't know why they're allowed to get away with this. I just don't understand this. But, of course, that's me. I mean, I, I, uh, I just don't understand people. I have a lot of problems with Obamacare. I have at the beginning, and will continue with it. I don't see any advantage to it. And I just wanted to, hold on a second, this is coming up. I have a little piece here. It's called CBS Cheryl Atkinson says, government knew all along millions would lose employer-based insurance. Well, CBS News journalist Cheryl Atkinson reported on Tuesday that not only will millions of Americans who receive their health coverage through their employer be losing their current coverage as a result of the Affordable Care Act, the federal government always knew this would be the case. Again, they lied to you again, folks. We've learned that the government estimated all along that millions of workers will be dropped from their employees' insurance under the Affordable Health Care Act. For some, it's already happening. Atkinson highlighted the story of one woman who was featured in a White House video blog in 2012 as a likely Affordable Care Act success story. In the months that followed, however, she was faced with a premium rate hike of 39% that would increase her health care costs by $30,000 annually. I didn't take it seriously because I had the opportunity to go to healthcare.gov, said New Hampshire business owner Nancy Clark. She canceled her and her company's insurance, but has since been unable to replace their canceled plan. They're going to have to go find their own insurance, said Virginia Beach business owner Betsy Atkinson, who is navigating a similar ordeal. Atkinson reported featured a series of clips of White House Press Secretary Jay Carney informing reporters that small business owners and those with insurance provided through their employer would experience no change as a result of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. While many losing their current plans will be able to receive cheaper plans with better coverage requirements, others will pay higher premiums as a result of the new coverage requirements. The persistent technical issue associated with healthcare.gov also makes acquiring insurance difficult. So there you go, folks. Anyway, here's a little video on this, and we will play that.
Are people able to get onto
when
the
website?
When a
major league team with an innovative idea gets a strategic investment from Goldman Sachs,
they're still getting on the site. I don't know. I really don't know if they are yet. It looks like there some are, but not many. It's not going to be up.
Contract is promising the federal health care website will be run smoothly by the end of this weekend. But with that self-imposed deadline approaching, CBS News is learning another promise by the government isn't holding up. Some of those who get their insurance through work are losing their coverage. Cheryl Atkinson is in Washington. Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. We've learned that the government estimated all along that millions of workers will be dropped from their employee insurance under the Affordable Care Act. And for some, it's already happening. New Hampshire small business owner Nancy Clark was featured last year in a White House video blog.
The health care law is about people like me. It's Nancy Care.
But things haven't gone quite according to plan for Nancy Care. Last month, her insurer said it was hiking rates 39% starting next year. That's a $30,000 increase in cost to her.
I didn't take it seriously because I have the opportunity to go on healthcare.gov.
So Clark decided to terminate the insurance she's offered her 8 employees and turn to Obamacare. But there's been one problem after another.
We're experiencing technical difficulties. That's the nature of the beast.
Biggest problem is going to be...
Virginia Beach business owner Betsy Atkinson is also canceling company insurance because her plan doesn't meet new Obamacare requirements, and she can't afford to offer employees one that does.
They're going to have to go find their own insurance. I'm sorry.
White House spokesman Jay Carney has given repeated assurances that nothing will change for those insured through work.
They don't have to worry about or do or change anything. This conversation doesn't apply to you.
there is no change for you.
But in 2010, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services estimated Obamacare would collectively reduce the number of people with employer-sponsored health coverage by about 14 million. The reason is some big companies will opt to save by paying the relatively small penalty for dropping employee insurance. Small businesses don't have to supply insurance and may find new policies too costly. For her part, Clark plans to help employees pay for their outside insurance and remains an avid Obamacare supporter. I'm confident that healthcare.gov will be fixed. Clark said since we interviewed her, about half her employees who are having their work insurance cut have enrolled on healthcare.gov. The administration told us the Affordable Care Act has slowed healthcare costs and premiums. Quote, the law is making it easier for businesses to offer coverage, just like it did in Massachusetts when employer coverage increased after reform passed. Charlie and Nora.
All right, Cheryl, thank you.
Pretty sad. I mean, it really is sad that you can't believe a damn word these guys say. And then you have people like this Nancy nut, you know, still believing in Obama and believing in Obamacare and believing that Obama even cares. You know? This is just, I mean, how stupid can you get? You know? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Oh, there was something interesting that a friend of mine sent over. Did you know that the U.S. government owns the patent on cannabis cures?
Isn't that amazing?
For those of you who do not believe that there is an ongoing international effort dead set on keeping the free and 100% organic medicine along with all organic foods, supplements, and natural medicines from a diseased and dying global population, I'm about to blow your mind. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
So they own everything. Imagine. They own it. They own the government owns the cure. Owns the patent.
Well, there's the cure for every disease. And they've suppressed all the information.
Too late. You know what I'm talking about here. Yes. Lord help me. Doesn't it surprise you, though, that people still believe in this guy? I mean,
everything he's done, Lyman, they believe in a lot of politicians.
He's done absolutely nothing that he's ever said he would do. In fact, he's done everything against everything that he said he would do.
Yep, yeah. Right from the beginning.
He's a goddamn liar.
Right from day one.
A pathetic, psychopathic, miserable guy. He kills people. He plans war and lust a lot.
He showed his colors after the election of Bush.
Yeah, he did.
When he was a senator and he refused to.
He showed a lot, but you know,
he refused to even support his own people who were excluded from the election process.
Yeah,
he wouldn't stand up for them.
No, he wouldn't.
For the election fraud.
That's very true.
So he showed his colors right there. That's where he sold out.
He did.
He sold out.
And
nobody paid much attention to that.
We did.
I was appalled.
We actually did, but you know the problem was,
that's the reason.
Why did you vote for the schmuck? And the only reason I voted for the asshole was because the other asshole was worse. McCain was worse. And Romney was worse than McCain. McCain is a certified lunatic.
I don't know how the people of Arizona elect him.
I don't either.
Yeah. Romney's unbelievable idiot. Anybody who would go on a trip and tie their dog to the top of a car shows how insensitive they are.
Yeah.
That's the family pet. So imagine how he feels about you.
Yeah. Well, Department of Justice internal memo confirms Obama plan for gun confiscation.
Yeah, I saw that.
What did you think of that, huh? Isn't that amazing? Oh, these leaders have all called for a new world order. Oh, let's see. We have George H.W. Bush, Henry Kissinger, Gary Hart, William Clinton, David Rockefeller, and Gordon Brown. Oh, yeah, all leaders, former leaders. Now, an internal memo within the Department of Justice has surfaced which confirms that Obama administration had plans for gun registration and confiscation in the aftermath of Newtown shooting, school shooting. Now, tell me that wasn't a staged shooting. Okay, according to Bob Owens, the NRA obtained the memo in February, but apparently there was questions as to the veracity of the information. Owens says that the existence of the memo and its outline of a plan for gun registration and confiscation can now be confirmed. The document, which can be viewed here, was not released to the public via the news media. Owen cites an analysis of the memo, including direct quotes from the document, which exposes the Obama administration's real agenda on guns. The DOJ memo states that the administration believes that a gun ban will not work without mandatory gun confiscation, according to the NRA, and thinks universal background checks won't work without requiring national gun registration. Obama has yet to publicly support national registration or firearm confiscation, although the memo reveals his administration is moving in that direction. Thus, despite the many denials by Obama, by members of his administration and by congressional Democrats, once again, it has become clear that the administration's true agenda is very different from that which is presented to the public.
Mm.
The goal is, and always has been, gun registration and confiscation. The Examiner has often reported the Obama agenda on guns, which can be traced all the way back to his years in the Illinois legislature. He was considered among the most aggressive anti-gun advocates in the country, or in Illinois. Obama voted to criminalize any homeowner who used an illegal firearm to defend himself or his family in the event of home invasion by dangerous criminals. The philosophy that underlies such point of view is clear. To Obama, it's more important that a gun be legal than for human lives to be saved. And this stance portrays a shocking disregard for the sanctity of human life. Thus, many conservatives warned as far back as 2007 that an Obama candidacy for the presidency would be a very dangerous turn for America. Obama would never tell the public just how radical he is. To do so would end his political career. This is why Obama denied repeatedly that he had been close friends with murderous homegrown terrorists such as Bill Ayers and his wife Bernadine Dorn. The couple bombed federal buildings, encouraged teenagers to murder their parents, and were arrested for the murder of a police officer, but were released on a technicality. It turns out that Ayers launched Obama's political career in his living room, all confirmed as fact, and birds of a feather, and the Obama agenda reflects it. But like so many other components of the Obama agenda, the public only finds out the real truth once the program is actually implemented. It is only then that it becomes clear that the emperor has no clothes, and only then it is too late. Fortunately for the populace, enough conservatives, libertarians, and other federal freedom-loving citizens were on the Obama gun ban agenda long before it became an issue. Nationally, his agenda was thus thwarted, but astute citizens are certain that this is not the end of it.
That couple that supposedly were his friends,
Bill
Ayers and Bernadette Dorn, they had to have been government informants.
They were. They absolutely were.
I mean, nobody gets off like that.
Well,
no.
this guy, Obama was a CIA schmuck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, his mother worked for the CIA.
Yeah, he was all government.
As it turns out, he was set up. He was an Indonesian student. He wasn't even an American. All right. He applied for foreign aid as a foreign student at Columbia. I mean, this is all record. This is all on record, all known. But yet, this freaking fraud of a son of a bitch keeps moving on, and nobody gets him. Nobody attacks him. So what does that tell you?
Well, a lot of people have confronted and attacked.
Like, yeah, but where is it going? Nowhere.
Doesn't go anywhere.
You just knock him out. Okay.
Yeah.
Now you get this lunatic Oprah. Okay. Out there trying to say he's the saint. You're a racist if you don't like Obama. Obama. Well, you know, she's a lying sick sack of crap herself, okay? And, I mean, it's just terrible. I mean, it's just terrible what's going on. And, you know, you
and you're powerless to do it.
And you're powerless to do it because, and now you got these thugs, these black groups running around knocking out white people, all right? You know, because...
And Asians. There's a couple of Asians they knocked out, too.
Yeah. I mean, they're just knocking everybody out thinking they're God's gift to fucking humanity. All right? Well, they're not. You know? And you know what happened? I posted this thing up here.
Well, even Al Sharpton got on TV and said,
they're thugs.
Stop it, you thugs.
They're thugs, you know? But it's like they get this authority, you know? They think that they're some kind of freaking incredible because they got a black guy as a president. Well, I'm sorry. He's a thug as well. Okay? Yeah, that's unbelievable. Like, this, you know, to me, this whole thing is absurd, but Jesse Jackson, who we've interviewed on our show before, we've talked to him before, and we had some respect for him, but not much anymore. Actually, none at all. There's nothing, he says that Jesse Jackson echoes Oprah. Obama's faced with the most hostility of any president. Well, it's not because he's black. It's because he's a crap.
Yeah.
Right? He's incompetent. You know, he's a lying thug. Right?
He was elected by a lot of white people.
Yes, but he betrayed them all.
But he betrayed his own people.
And he betrayed his own people.
Never mind the rest of them.
It has nothing to do with the fact that he is the biggest liar, warmonger, idiot, and incompetent president that we've ever elected. Blame it on race. It is all they have to justify.
That's all they have
Obama's
left.
Miserable presidency.
Yeah.
You know, they're defending it by race. Oh, he's a racist. You're a racist if you don't like Obama. Okay. Because well, the fact that he's a lying shit. Okay. Warmongering, mass murdering bastard, worse than Bush. Right. Is amazing. You know, just amazing. And oh no, we can't do it because he's black. Well, bullshit. Anyway, let me just see what this moron says. Because I once had respect, a little respect for Jesse, but I have none anymore. Alright? You know, none. Alright? Oprah Winfrey found herself in familiar controversial territory with conservatives earlier this month when she suggested in a BBC interview and much of the disrespect Americans show President Obama is due to his race. Consciously or not, Jesse Jackson made a similar statement when he appeared on the Arsenio Hall show Friday.
Hmm.
When host Arsenio
brought up President Obama, Jackson assessed his second term by saying he's serving us well against the most hostility an American president has ever had. That line drew loud applause from the Arsenio audience. There have been more attempts to derail his legislation than the history of this country. Against all odds, Jackson said, including those who try to say Obama is not an American and not a Christian, the president has been able to succeed. He added that Obama and the First Lady Michelle Obama have managed to maintain a level of dignity, if not stoop to the garbage tactics of his opponents. For those reasons, Jackson said he deserves support. Unlike Winfrey, Jackson did not explicitly blame the hostility against Obama on racism, but by invoking things like the birther movement, he did appear to be hitting in that direction. Either way, he clearly agrees with Winfrey that the president takes a unique form of adversity.
Well, you know, geez, isn't that sad? You know, they will not agree that this guy is one big piece of jerk.
That, you know, the reason people don't like him is that he's shown to be incompetent in a lot of ways.
He's incompetent, and he's a
liar. And he's continued the war, and he's done nothing. Everything that he ran on, he disregarded as soon as he got elected.
Yeah, he did. You got to remember, guys, Lila and I were always of liberal leaning, okay? And to many extent, we still are. But we don't see this guy as any liberal. He's just a dictator, okay? He's a sociopath. He's a liar. He's a belligerent warmonger.
How about
the
guy that gets the Nobel Peace Prize and has waged more wars than any president we've ever had?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and then
He just continued Bush's foreign policy.
It's just disgusting. I mean, there's nothing about this guy that's legitimate. Not his birth, not his place of birth, not his education, not his presidency. He was a corporate
creation,
CIA creation, just to destroy this freaking country. And he's working well at it, believe me. It's got nothing to do with race. The only reason he has any credibility at all and nobody shot the bastard is because he's black. Okay?
Mm.
Right. You know? I mean, look, we're celebrating the 50th year of the greatest liberal president there ever was, which is John F. Kennedy. You know what I mean? Right? He lasted 2 years and he did more in 2 years than this idiot has done in eight.
Well, he was a liberal.
He was a real liberal. He was a true.
He wasn't a fake liberal.
He wasn't a fake. God damn.
And he did dare to stand up to people, but he became a martyr because of it.
He became a martyr because of it. But anyway. Let's change the subject a little bit. Something even more disgusting. This is gluten. This is your body on gluten. This is your brain, rather, on gluten. This is from Green Med Info. It's really fascinating because I personally have a gluten allergy, but it says it's like you're beginning. The world is beginning to understand. Research is beginning to show that you should consider eliminating all gluten and dairy from your diet for 3 months. Now, I have to say, I should eliminate dairy because I do eat dairy. But
those words hung in the air like an alien spacecraft hovering between us. When I had the good sense to consult a naturopath after my diagnosis with postpartum thyroiditis, this was the backbone of her recommendation to me. As a psychiatric fellow, 9 years into my medical training, gluten had no relevance to the non-celiac population. Celiac disease was a rare and unfortunate affliction that made living a normal life impossible because of the strict prohibition on what seemed to me at the time all food. Raised in a classic Italian pastas, lasagnas, and paninis, and New York City pizza and bagel and a bagelophile, I honestly couldn't conceive of what I would eat. Fast forward 5 years, several hundred medical journal articles, conferences, seminars, and a personal health revolution later, I'm now convinced of the imperative for all people to eliminate the inflammatory food from their lives. I plan to detail, be forewarned, science to follow, the information that made me change my tune on the seemingly innocuous but ubiquitous food. Here's the good in 1,500 words. We know why and how it hurts you. Sometimes as I read a medical paper, I get this euphoric rush that makes time seem to slow down. Nerd alert. I grip the pages a bit tighter and I savor what is to come because I know that I am experiencing paradigm shifting information firsthand. When I read this paper by Alessio Fasano in 2011, I knew the processed food industry was going to have to think fast to get out from under this knowledge. In a feat of scientific brilliance, he connected the dots for us and explained the following. The gut does more than absorb food. It is a barrier determinant of self and non-self that educates the immune system. Here is where our bodies learn about what to attack and where they can be miseducated about attacking themselves. That's autoimmunity. The trafficking of macromolecules across the gut barrier requires a facilitator, a doorman who lets them through. This agent is called zonulin and opens a space or tight junction between the gut and the cells. Zonulin is triggered by gladin, which is the protein found in the grains of wheat, rye, and barley. This triggering occurs in 80% of the population based on hereditary haplotypes.
There is reason to suspect that prolamine grains, including the above and corn, sorghum, and oats, called this because of their high proline and glutamine content. They all play a role in triggering these dynamic gut changes. cross-reactivity and stimulation of alpha-glutin or by food like dairy, oats, corn, and millet, and even instant coffee, as examined in this study, suggesting that those with limited clinical improvement on a gluten-free diet but with positive antibodies could also consider broader eliminations. Immune activation is mediated by changes in gut permeability and blood-brain permeability. Essentially, once local inflammation is kicked off and the door to the bloodstream is open, the immune system responds. And this permeability also allows for the passage of toxins from bacteria called lipopolysaccharides that may play a significant role in depression, as discussed here. Wow.
Hmm.
So inflammation and immune stimulation. The nature of this immune response is becoming very elucidated. Here are some important conceptual players. Molecular mimicry.
It's kind of difficult
to
understand.
Yeah, it goes on and on. But milk sensitivity systems. Let's see. There's one more page. Let's just see what she said on that. But if you continue, I found...
gluten is a drug. Independent of the brain effects already discussed, gluten peptides may travel through the bloodstream, can stimulate opiate receptors in the brain, resulting in their being termed gladiodorphins. The effects of the stimulation may have wide-ranging psychiatric manifestations, not the least of which is the addictive potential of these foods. Those eating high-gluten diets can expect to undergo 1 to 3 weeks of withdrawal symptoms upon cessation. This type of relationship with food raises flags for the psychiatrist. That's interesting.
Weak inducing leptins. You may have sprinkled wheat germ on your cereal or a little health boost. Yeah, or even then recommended sprout grain bread as a wellness intervention sanctioned by gurus everywhere. But these foods contain the highest and best studied levels of lectin, an anti-nutrient, and partner in crime to gliadin peptides in wheat, barley, and rye. But present in many foods, and most in grains, legumes, and dairy, and notably, genetically modified foods designed to increase lectin content for pest control. They are the plant world's natural defense, the thorn on the rose meant to inspire regret in those who designed to feast on them. And lectins promote intestinal inflammation and permeability, then cause widespread and varied organ damage by binding with sugars in body tissues. Lectins can be minimized but not eliminated by processing preparations of grain and beans, and is one of the reasons white rice is recommended over brown. I always thought brown rice was...
I always thought so, too.
A GMO guts primed for gluten-related damage.
One of the primary reasons that I and many educated others believe that genetically modified foods are the death by 1,000 cuts of modern man is because of their impact on the gut. BT toxin and glyphosate are two poisons heavily employed in the production of genetically modified crops. BT toxin is used in corn as a natural pesticide. The American public has been assured does not affect the human body. Its perforating effects on insects' digestive tracts does not appear to be limited to these pests, as the toxins has been found in fetal circulation, implying that it's obviously violated the gut barrier of pregnant women consuming these products. Herbicides such as the heavily employed Roundup have now been revealed to have active bacteria-killing inflammatory effects in our guts, changing our microbiome with every dose we consume. Vegetable oil, soy, corn, and animals consuming corn are a ubiquitous part of the modern diet that likely perpetuates gut dysfunction that then facilitates the immune-based effects of gluten exposure.
Ugh. Wow. So, anyway. Stop eating gluten now. There are many wonderful and freely available guides to converting to a gluten-free life, but the basic principle is to eliminate rye, barley, wheat, and unspecified oats. The difficulty is in identifying the hidden sources of gluten in sauces, condiments, soups, and flavorings. That's very true. Essentially, going gluten-free should mean eliminating processed foods from your life, which is why I have a low threshold for those to also recommend elimination of co-reactive foods like dairy, corn, soy, and in some cases legumes, including peanuts. Oh man, all of the good things that I love in my life left, and the gluten-free grains like rice and millet. After gut healing, quinoa, amaranth, and buckwheat may be less stimulatory, as they are technically dicots and may not overlap as much with the monocot grains. For emergencies, the enzyme DPPIV is available over the counter and may help aid in the digestion of gluten grains with accidental exposure. Here is a great guide for pesticide-free shopping and a guide to avoid genetically modified foods. Armed with this information, I'm hoping that those suffering from neurologic, psychiatric, gastrointestinal, and otherwise undiagnosable health concerns might consider this palliative intervention. It may be the last prescription you ever need.
So you have to go to this site
to
get...
Go to this site. Yeah. Go to GreenMedInfo, all right? And check this site out. I've got it, for those of you listening on Facebook, I have it posted on my Facebook.
And they also have 600 gluten-free recipes you can get here.
Right.
Gluten-free.
But you know what? I'm reading now. I've been gluten-free for, 5 years now,
mm-hmm.
or more? And, I had to be. And I find gluten, if anybody suffers from any skin disorder, like psoriasis or eczema or anything like that, that is all... food-related, the food allergy. I found that to be true because I developed a case of psoriasis years ago, and suddenly, and then I found that I was told that it was a food allergy, and I stopped drinking beer and eating wheat products, and the allergy virtually left me. You know?
And our dog
is gluten allergic too. He's allergic to grain. He's got a hot spot and itching. And since we changed his food to a grain-free food, he stopped. He stopped having problems. So, if you're in that position, folks, which
so
I...
So it's not just you,
millions,
you're best
millions,
too.
Millions and millions of people are. Find out. Stop eating wheat. Stop eating barley. Stop eating, check in and see where gluten is. Don't drink beer. But not by all means. Don't drink anything made of wheat or barley or hops or any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's all highly bad.
Well, it's all loaded with gluten.
Yeah. this is posted. Whether or not this is true, I sense it. I thought it was in Missouri, but I believe it is.
No,
was it in the book? I did. I read it.
You read it.
I read it, but when they did take it down.
Hmm.
Well, anyway. They took it down.
Oh, boy. What was it about?
Well, a 93-year-old grandmother shot and killed somebody who tried in one of the knockout boats. Yeah.
Oh.
Whether or not that was true, I don't know. It was
maybe not.
St. Louis, Missouri, but they thought they just took it down. Anyway. So here, some guy sent me and says a little girl talking with her mother and says, "Mom, what is normal? It's just a setting on the dryer, honey." Maria, like that.
That's cute.
every drug that has been recalled by the FDA was originally approved by the FDA.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Research proven to be safe and effective by the FDA.
That's because they don't do any tests.
What does that mean, by the way?
Lousy.
Yeah.
Organization.
I was kind of surprised with this. Turns out stated that the post office offers holiday but not Christmas stamps.
Okay.
Oh. The U.S. Postal Service is getting into the holiday spirit. In honor of the holiday season, the United States Postal Service is releasing a holiday stamp collection. According to the Post Office, Postal Service, Americans celebrate Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Gingerbread House. A line of holiday-inspired stamps offer Hanukkah and Kwanzaa-inspired stamps, but nothing to represent the Christian religion. Instead, Christians are offered a stamp with a picture of a gingerbread house on it. Isn't that something?
Ridiculous.
And there's no Christmas in public schools. Okay? Critics of the Postal Service took to Twitter to express their frustration. One o'clock tweeted, "Shh, we can't say the word C word. We can't say the C word. Do you think Christmas should be represented here? Share your thoughts." This is an interesting article, too, related about Christmas. No Christmas, at least in public schools. Do you approve of Obama? A band director at a South Bath, Carolina high school, public school, is in hot water for allowing students to rehearse Christmas carol melodies for a upcoming winter concert. Upon discovering the Christmas-related melodies, the music was withdrawn from the York Preparatory Academy performance. Now the Alliance Defending Freedom is representing the teacher. Schools shouldn't have to think twice about whether they can allow their bands to play the music to time-honored Christmas carols like these, said his counsel. But she also noted every federal court to examine the issue has determined that including religious Christmas carols in school music programs fully complies with the First Amendment.
Parents in the South Carolina community say a small minority of non-religious people is stirring the controversy. People say Christmas has always been celebrated in schools without a problem. However, in recent years, certain groups opposed to public religious expression have spread misconceptions through fear, intimidation, and disinformation about the legalities of celebrating Christmas in public schools, Garrett said.
But it's okay to celebrate Kwanzaa. Or Hanukkah.
I guess so.
What the hell? I don't know. I got problems with this stuff. Oh, this is a good one. Coca-Cola. 20 practical uses for Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
none of them are for eating.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know what? It says, Coke is the most valuable brand in history. And Coca-Cola is the world's second most recognized word after hello. But, however, the beverage itself is an absolute poison to the human metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
Coke is very close to the acidity level of battery acid, and consequently, it can clean surfaces equivalent to and often better than many toxic house cleaners.
It's cheaper and easier to buy Coke in some third world country.
Down and grab our other phone. It's kind of weird. But, yeah. That's very strange. But anyway, let me continue. It's cheaper and easier to buy Coke in some third world countries than it is to access clean water. Coke uses public relations propaganda to convince consumers and entire nations that it is an environmental company. When really it is linked to pollution, water shortages, and disease. That's right, folks.
people who consume soft drinks such as Coke have a 48% increase in heart attack and stroke risk compared to people who do not who did not drink sodas at all or did not drink them every day. A study published in the journal Respirology reveals that the soft drink consumption is also associated with lung and breathing disorders, including asthma and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD.
Okay. Mm.
The carbonation in Coke causes calcium loss in the bones through a three-stage process. The carbonation irritates the stomach. The stomach cures the irritation the only way it knows how. It adds the only antacid at its disposal, which is calcium, and it gets this from the blood. The blood, now low on calcium, replenishes its supply from the bones. If it did not do this, muscular and brain function would be severely impaired.
But the story doesn't end there. Another problem with most Coke is it also contains phosphoric acid, not the same as the carbonation, which is carbon dioxide mixed with water. Phosphoric acid also causes a drawdown on the body's store of calcium. So Coke softens your bones, actually makes them weak and brittle in three ways. Carbonation reduces the calcium in the bones. Phosphoric acid reduces the calcium in the bones. The beverage replaces a calcium-containing alternative, such as milk or water. Milk and water are not excellent calcium sources, but they are sources. Esophageal cancer was very rare two generations ago. Now it's common. The basic mechanism works as follows. It comes from drinking too much Coke?
Yes. Mechanical damage to cells is a huge risk factor for cancer. It's why asbestos particles, for example, cause lung cancer. All soft drinks. Was it your phone?
Yeah.
Or was your phone?
Yeah, I don't recognize the number though.
What is it? All soft drinks cause acid reflux. Stomach acid rising up past the esophageal valve. That is more pronounced when the body is horizontal as in sleeping. But the sheer volume of Coke and soft drink consumed in the U.S. means the acid reflux is well past the danger point.
Huh.
Anytime you ingest a gassy drink, you are going to get belching and acid into the esophagus. How much is too much? The research doesn't say where the limit is. It only shows that most of us are far, far, far past it.
Stomach acid dissolves tissue. That's its purpose. The stomach lining does not extend into the esophagus, so the lower esophagus gets damaged by acid far more frequently in soft drink uses than in non-soft drink uses. The result is a radical increase in cell mutations along with a far higher level of free radicals.
20 practical uses for Coke. Coke acts as an acidic cleaner. The amount of acid in soda is equal to where away at the enamel of your teeth, making them more susceptible to decay. The tests done on the acidity level of soda, certain ones, were found to have pH levels as low as 2.5.
Well, let's read the list.
Yeah, to put it into perspective, consider the acid, the battery acid, as a pH of 1, and pure water as a pH of 7. Okay.
Right. Here are 20 practical ways you can use Coke as a domestic cleaner. Removes grease stains from clothing and fabric.
Removes rust. Methods include using fabric dipped in Coke, sponge, or even aluminum foil. Also loosens rusty bolts.
Removes blood stains from clothing and fabric.
I didn't know that. Cleans oil stains from a garage floor, let the stain soak, hose it off.
Kills slugs and snails. The acid kills them.
Cleans burnt pans. Let the pan soak in the Coke. Then rinse.
Descales a kettle.
Well, that's interesting. That's a new way to clean pans. Descales a kettle, yeah. Cleans car battery terminals by pouring a small amount of Coke over each one.
Cleans your engine.
Coke distributors have been using this technique for decades. Really? makes pennies shine. Soap old pennies and Coke with...
remove the tarnish.
Yeah.
Cleans the grout, pour onto the kitchen floor, leave for a few minutes, wipe up. Cleans tile grout.
Wow. You should do it. That's a good idea. Dissolves a tooth. Use a sealed container. Take a while, but it does work. Why would I want to dissolve?
Removes gum from hair. Dip into a small bowl of Coke. Removes stains from vitreous China. Got a dirty pool. Add 2 liters bottles of Coke. Clears the rust.
Okay. You can remove or fade dye from hair by pouring Diet Coke over it.
Remove marker stains from a carpet. Cleans toilet. Coke and aluminum
foil. Pour around bowl. Leave for a while. Flush clean.
Coke and aluminum foil will bring chrome to a high shine.
Wow.
Strips paint off metal furniture. Soak a towel in Coke and lay it on the paint surface. Now can you imagine what it does to your stomach lining?
Mm.
And on that note, we have
come to the end of the show. But,
so,
man, I tell you, it was an interesting night.
I guess you don't have to buy any Kleenex. I guess you could use Coke.
Just use Coke. Holy cow.
Kind of
scary. Yeah, so anyway, don't buy Coke. Tell people, don't buy Coke. And if you're listening to this around your, if you're listening to this tonight or tomorrow or on Thanksgiving, don't buy Coke. Tell all your family not to buy Coke.